Forget goals and focus on systems instead. Conventional wisdom asserts that the best way to achieve what we want in life, getting in shape, starting a successful business, relaxing and stopping worrying, spending more time with family and friends, is to set specific and viable goals. For many years, this was also how I approached my habits. Each habit was a goal to achieve. I set goals for the grades I wanted to achieve in school, for the amount of weight I wanted to lift at the gym, for the profits I wanted to earn in my business. I succeeded with some of them but failed with many others. Eventually, I started to realize that my results had little to do with my goals and much to do with the systems I followed to achieve them. What is the difference between goals and systems? I learned the answer from Scott Adams, the cartoonist who created the comic strip Dilbert. According to Adams, goals are the results you want to achieve. Systems are the processes you follow to achieve those results. If you are a coach, your goal might be to win the championship. Your system is the way you recruit players, manage your assistant coaches, and conduct practices. If you are an entrepreneur, your goal might be to build a $1 million business. Your system is the way you test product ideas, hire employees, and run marketing campaigns. If you are a musician, your goal might be to play a new piece. Your system is how often you practice, how you break down and tackle difficult passages, and the method you use to get feedback from your instructor. And now the most interesting question. If you completely ignored your goals and focused only on your system, would you still succeed? For example, if you were a basketball coach and ignored your goal to win the championship and focused solely on what your team does during practice each day, would you still get results? I believe the answer is yes. The goal of any sports team is to get the best score, but it would be absurd to spend the entire game staring at the scoreboard. The only way to actually win is to get a little better each day of practice. In the words of three-time Super Bowl champion Bill Walsh, the score takes care of itself. The same is true for your goals. It is better to focus on systems. What do I mean by this? Are goals completely useless? Of course not. Goals are good for setting a direction, but systems are best for making progress. A lot of problems arise when you spend too much time thinking about your goals and not enough time designing your systems. Problem 1. Winners and losers have the same goals. We have a serious bias when it comes to judging others' goals. We tend to confuse success with survival. We focus on the people who end up winning, the survivors, and mistakenly assume that their ambitious goals led to their success. By doing so, we fail to realize that many other people had the same goal but did not succeed. Every Olympian wants to win a gold medal. Every job candidate wants to get the job. If successful and unsuccessful people share the same goals, then the goal cannot be what differentiates the winners from the losers. The goal to win the Tour de France was not what propelled the British cyclists to the top of their sport. They had likely aspired to win that race every year before, just like any other professional cycling team. The goal was always there. It wasn't until they implemented a system of continuous small improvements that they achieved a completely different outcome. Problem 2. Achieving a goal is only a momentary change. Imagine you have a messy and cluttered room, and you set a goal to clean and organize it. If you muster the energy to do the necessary work, then your room will be tidy for a moment. But if you maintain the same messy and cluttered habits that led to a messy room, soon you'll find yourself with a pile of things out of place, waiting for another burst of motivation to clean it again. You'll keep chasing the result because you never took the time to change the system behind it. You cured a symptom without addressing the cause. When you achieve a goal, your life changes for the moment. That's the paradox of improvement. We think we need to change our results, but the results are not the problem. What we really need to change are the systems that cause those results. When you solve problems at the results level, you only solve them temporarily. To truly make lasting progress, you need to solve problems at the systems level. Fix the systems, and the results will fix themselves. Problem 3. Goals restrict your happiness. The implicit assumption behind any goal is this: once I reach my goal, then I'll be happy. The problem with a goal-first mentality is that you're continually putting happiness off until the next milestone. I've fallen into this trap so many times I've lost count. For years, I convinced myself that happiness was something my future self would enjoy. I promised myself that once I gained 20 pounds of muscle or once my business was featured in the New York Times, then I could finally relax and be happy. Moreover, a goal-oriented mindset creates a binary conflict. Either you achieve your goal and are successful, or you fail and are a disappointment. You mentally box yourself into a narrow version of happiness. This is a mistake. It's unlikely that the path your life takes will match the exact scenario you had in mind when you set out to achieve your goals. It makes no sense to restrict your satisfaction and happiness to one scenario when there are many paths to success. A systems first mentality provides a remedy. When you fall in love with the process rather than the product, you don't have to wait to be happy. You can be satisfied anytime your system is running. And a system can be successful in many different ways, not just the one you initially envisioned. Problem 4. Goals are at odds with long-term progress. Finally, a goal-oriented mind can create a yo-yo effect. Many runners work hard for months, but as soon as they cross the finish line, they stop training. The race is no longer there to motivate them. When all your hard work is focused on a particular goal, what is left to push you forward after you achieve it? This is why many people revert to their old habits once they achieve a goal. The purpose of setting goals is to win the game. The purpose of building systems is to continue playing the game. True long-term thinking is goalless thinking. It's not about any single accomplishment. It's about the cycle of endless refinement and continuous improvement. Ultimately, your commitment to the process will determine your progress. A system of atomic habits. If you're having trouble changing your habits, the problem isn't you. The problem is your system. Bad habits repeat themselves not because you don't want to change, but because you have the wrong system for change. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. One of the core themes of this book is about focusing on systems instead of goals. It is one of the main ideas that defines the word atomic. At this point, you've probably realized that an atomic habit refers to a small change, a marginal gain, a 1% improvement. But atomic habits are not just any small habits. They are small habits that are part of a larger system. Just as atoms are the building blocks of molecules, atomic habits are the building blocks of remarkable results. Habits are like the atoms of our lives. Each one is a fundamental unit that contributes to your overall improvement. At first, these tiny routines seem insignificant, but soon they build on each other and fuel bigger wins that multiply to a degree that far outweighs the cost of their initial investment. They are both small and mighty. This is the meaning of the phrase atomic habits, a regular practice or routine that is not only small and easy to do, but also the source of incredible power, a component of the system of compound growth. Outcome-based habits. Most people start the process of changing their habits by focusing on what they want to achieve. This leads to outcome-based habits. The alternative is to build identity-based habits. With this approach, we start by focusing on who we wish to become. Imagine two people resisting a cigarette. When offered a smoke, the first person says, "No thanks, I'm trying to quit." It sounds like a reasonable response, but this person still believes they are a smoker trying to be something else. They are hoping their behavior will change while carrying around the same beliefs. The second person declines by saying, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker." It's a small difference, but this statement signals a shift in identity. Smoking was part of their former life, not their current one. They no longer identify as someone who smokes. Most people don't even consider identity change when they set out to improve. They just think, "I want to be skinny, outcome. And if I stick to this diet, I'll be skinny, process." They set goals and determine the actions they should take to achieve those goals without considering the beliefs that drive their actions. They never shift the way they look at themselves, and they don't realize that their old identity can sabotage their new plans for change. Behind every system of actions is a system of beliefs. The democratic system is based on beliefs like freedom, majority rule, and social equality. The dictatorial system has a different set of beliefs, like absolute authority and strict obedience. You can convince people to vote in a democracy, but such behavior is impossible under a dictatorship. It's not part of the identity of that system. A similar pattern exists whether we are discussing individuals, organizations, or societies. There are a set of beliefs and assumptions that shape the system, an identity behind the habits. Behavior that is incongruent with the self will not last. You may want more money, but if your identity is someone who consumes rather than creates, then you'll continue to be pulled towards spending rather than earning. You may want better health, but if you continue to prioritize comfort over accomplishment, then you'll be drawn to relaxing rather than training. It's hard to change your habits if you never change the underlying beliefs that led to your past behavior. You have a new goal and a new plan, but you haven't changed who you are. This is one reason why people find it so hard to build lasting habits. While we set out to change our outcomes, the level of change at which we operate is the results level, the most superficial level. Then we move to the process level, changing our habits and systems, the next level. Finally, we reach the identity level, changing our beliefs, the deepest level. Outcomes are what you get. Processes are about what you do. Identity is about what you believe. Many people begin the process of changing their habits by focusing on what they want to achieve. This leads to outcome-based habits. The alternative is to build identity-based habits. With this approach, we start by focusing on who we wish to become. Imagine two people resisting a cigarette. When offered a smoke, the first person says, "No thanks, I'm trying to quit." It sounds like a reasonable response, but this person still believes they are a smoker trying to be something else. They are hoping their behavior will change while carrying around the same beliefs. The second person declines by saying, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker." It's a small difference, but this statement signals a shift in identity. Smoking was part of their former life, not their current one. They no longer identify as someone who smokes. Most people don't even consider identity change when they set out to improve. They just think, "I want to be skinny, outcome." and if I stick to this diet, I'll be skinny. Process. They set goals and determine the actions they should take to achieve those goals without considering the beliefs that drive their actions. They never shift the way they look at themselves, and they don't realize that their old identity can sabotage their new plans for change. Behind every system of actions is a system of beliefs. The democratic system is based on beliefs like freedom, majority rule, and social equality. Brian Clark. You can convince people to vote in a democracy, but such behavior is impossible under a dictatorship. It's not part of the identity of that system. A similar pattern exists whether we are discussing individuals, organizations, or societies. There are a set of beliefs and assumptions that shape the system, an identity behind the habits. Behavior that is incongruent with the self will not last. You may want more money, but if your identity is someone who consumes rather than creates, then you'll continue to be pulled towards spending rather than earning. You may want better health, but if you continue to prioritize comfort over accomplishment, then you'll be drawn to relaxing rather than training. It's hard to change your habits if you never change the underlying beliefs that led to your past behavior. You have a new goal and a new plan, but you haven't changed who you are. This is one reason why people find it so hard to build lasting habits. While we set out to change our outcomes, the level of change at which we operate is the results level, the most superficial level. Then we move to the process level, changing our habits and systems, the next level. Finally, we reach the identity level, changing our beliefs, the deepest level. Outcomes are what you get. Processes are about what you do. Identity is about what you believe.